T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hey, how we doing today? Evan and Tiki on this spring-like Monday. And also day one of 15 consecutive shows where I gotta color my beard. So day one, Tiki, what color is my beard?
It's very royal. It's purple. Purple's for royalty.
Purple royalty, baby.
I love it.
That's right.
It actually doesn't look that horrible.
Thank you.
I mean, it's silly and crazy looking, but it's actually not that bad.
It's given me thoughts that I may go permanent. That
purple.
I may stick
permanently
with
purple?
Yeah, permanently purple. We'll be able to send you pictures out on the social media platforms a little bit later on. But last night was a very, very, very stressful night for my friends that are Knick fans. And I join you in that stress because I watched the entire Knick game at an airport, at the Fort Lauderdale airport, while waiting out a very, 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 very long plane delay. And the biggest thing I took away from last night's game, and we'll get to Jalen Brunson, we'll get to your concerns, but the biggest thing I took away from last night's Knicks game is great news for you. Incredible news for Knick fans, because I will speak right now as an IBO, as an independent basketball observer. All year long, I thought that the Cleveland Cavaliers learned from their embarrassing experience of a year ago when the New York Knicks, excuse my language, bitch slapped them in the opening round of the NBA playoffs. Okay. And I thought they learned. I thought they kind of had that thing on their back. What's that phrase? We got something on your back?
The monkey.
The monkey on your back, whatever it is. And they were playing differently in 2024. They were overcoming injuries in 2024. And last night, and there were a few moments where it was so obvious, the New York Knicks, without Julius Randle, without OG Anunoby, without Jalen Brunson for every second besides 44 of them, the New York Knicks reminded the Cleveland Cavaliers who their daddies are. They can't beat you. So look, you've got two huge questions you got to answer going into the postseason. One is health. We all know that. We can't predict it. You got to keep your fingers crossed. And the second is your opponent. Because you can mark my words right now on March 4th at 2.04 p.m. p.m. Eastern time. If you play those frauds from Cleveland, you're going to smoke them. Because they're frauds, Tiki. And the Knicks reminded you that last night in Cleveland.
Yes, they did. We railed on Friday when you were down in Port St. Lucie. Actually, you were just down in Florida. So you're visiting your sister. You weren't actually at camp the whole time. But we talked about all the injuries that have plagued New York sports. And the Knicks obviously leading the charge because they're the current team in season right now. And then you get this Jalen Brunson injury, and it's like, oh, here we go again. It's another excuse for why they're going to lose again. And they didn't. And part of the reason they didn't is because Tom Thibodeau despite our, I guess, ire and disgust at how he runs his rotation sometimes, actually has developed some pretty good backups on this team.
Mm.
Deuce McBride.
Played every second.
Every second after Brunson got hurt. Preston Sachua, he's been really important for this team, especially with the iHeart injury. And so, yes, the New York Knicks own the Cleveland Cavaliers. Do I want to have them drop to the sixth seed and flirt with
yes.
the play-in tournament?
Yes.
Probably not.
Yes.
Probably not. But if there is one team that you are pining for, if you are the New York Knicks, it's the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Well, and I'll tell you something else. When you look into someone's eyes and you know they're defeated, when you look into someone's eyes and you know they've already lost, Mike Tyson used to have this mm-hmm. when he fought guys back in the day. J.B. Bickerstaff, before the game, made it plainly obvious he is scared of the New York Knicks. During that game, late in the game, on that out-of-bounds call that he challenged and won, but had a hissy fit about a foul that he thought was called, proved he's afraid of the New York Knicks. And I'll tell you another moment where I knew that this Cleveland Cavalier team, if you play them, I'm telling you, you don't even need everybody healthy. If you play this team, you will smoke this team. They are frauds.
Well, Donovan was out too. So
well,
I mean,
let's get to him. And I love Donovan Mitchell, all right? I got a warm, warm feeling in my heart for Donovan Mitchell. He's a Met fan. He's a Jet fan. But last night, when Josh Hart hit that crazy three, and how amazing was Josh Hart last night? You talk about a guy that represents who the New York Knicks are. I don't think there's a guy that represents the dog in them, as Loogie likes to say, mm-hmm. more than Josh Hart. When Josh Hart hit that crazy three, and he turns around, and he touches Donovan Mitchell, to taunt him. Dude, if Donovan Mitchell had any balls, he would have punched him in the face. Like, I'm not even kidding you. You're in the middle of a game. This is a playoff atmosphere. And you let this fraud just touch you? Just be like, oh, yeah, hey, how's it going? And Don looks at him like, yeah, whatever. I'm not going to do anything about it. That's who they are.
They don't have a fight. They don't have a fight in them.
They have no fight in them, and that's who they are. They will let you push them around. And that was... I'm telling you, I sat there at that airport watching this game, and I get the nervousness around Brunson. We'll get to that. But it was a reminder that if you play these frauds in the first round, you can beat them.
Yeah, we saw it last year as well. They were out-coached. They were out everything. Hustled defensively. They couldn't score. I mean, the Cavaliers couldn't score. And, you know, as much as we talk about Tom Thibodeau, we have to acknowledge that there's a little bit of what he espouses flowing through all of these guys.
Yeah.
Right? That last 4 minutes, 4.5 minutes of this game, they gave up 2 points, right? And we always think about the scoring. We always think about, well, what are the Knicks going to do if their number one scorer, Brunson, is out? Their number two scorer, Randall, is out. What, OG, who is a great – what are they going to do? They pick up the slack, man. So it's funny. Like, you know, a team has started to become – a viable one, maybe not championship viable, but one that can do some damage and scare some teams when there's a message that starts at the top and it gets all the way to like the 8th, 9th, 10th guys in basketball. In football, it'd be, you know, the 50th guy. But in basketball, it gets all the way down. All those guys play the same way.
Mm.
They all play with heart. And as much as I thought that wouldn't work, it works for the Knicks. And that tells you how much this team thinks about their head coach and Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, look, you gave a positive for Tom, because I think sometimes Tom Thibodeau takes too much crap for all these injuries.
He does, because he grinds these
guys.
No,
he does when he deserves it. See, that's the problem. Sometimes any injury that happens becomes that's Thibodeau's fault, and that's not true. There are certain injuries where I've laid it at his feet, you've laid it at his feet. I thought when Dante DiVincenzo had the hamstring issue a couple weeks ago,
yep.
Sure, you could put that on Thibs.
No
Last
doubt.
Night, Jalen Brunson's injury is not on Tom Thibodeau.
No.
Julius Randle's injury from a few months ago is not on Tom Thibodeau.
Except he didn't need to be in the game, but that's okay.
That's a different thing, because
right.
It's a fine line between deciding when to take a guy out
right. when
and when to have
over.
A guy in.
Yeah, when is the game over?
But you are right about this. The identity of this team, even when they're shorthanded, is that they can still compete.
Mm-hmm.
Even that Warrior game a few days ago, they didn't win, they competed. Last night, even without Donovan Mitchell, that's a game you lose. That's why, for my money, that was the most impressive Knick win they've had all season long. I think that is their most impressive win, because I also feel like players, when they see their leader, their king, Jalen Brunson, go down the way he did, 47 seconds into the game, they have to think what we're all thinking, which is, holy crap.
Well, I think the other thing, and this is a Leon Rose issue, not issue, but a credit,
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's one thing to bring in backups, guys who are going to be, you know, your 20-minute-a-game guys, your 8-minute-a-game guys. It's one thing to bring those guys in, and they're just like, eh, I'm here. I'm good. And maybe I'll get in my 6 or 7 minutes. But when you have those guys that are like, they want to play, like they want to be, like they want their opportunity, like we saw with Deuce last night, like we've seen with Precious ever since, you know, for the last month or so. Like when you have these guys that really want to do it, it tells you how well constructed the team is, right? Because it's always the, like, you're only as good as your bench, right? You're only as good as who can replace the starter who gets hurt. And so you got to feel optimistic about this Knicks squad. But again, this is just the Cavaliers. There's still so much that has to happen,
okay,
and they still have lost 8 of their last 11.
Now, you say just the Cavaliers. Here's the deal, Knick fans. Forget about NBA titles and getting to the conference finals. You got to take it one round at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, the Knicks' mission, no matter how much time they miss Jalen Brunson, no matter how much more time they miss Julius Randle and OG Anunoby, these regular season games matter. Because you got to put yourself in the best position to succeed. The New York Knicks, mathematically, as unlikely as it may seem right now, could very well finish as a 2 seed. They're only 4 games behind Milwaukee. With that said, they could finish as far down as an 8 seed.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of the mark of finish strong, you're the 2, struggle, you're the 8. Which means the New York Knicks' first-round opponent can literally be any team in the Eastern Conference right now. I could make an argument it ends up being Boston. They fall into the play-in tournament. They lose that 7-8 game. They survive the second play-in game. Boom, you're playing the Boston Celtics. I could lay out a scenario where you're playing Milwaukee, whether they're the 2 or the 3. A scenario where they're playing Cleveland. Right now, if the season ends today, they're playing Philadelphia. A scenario where they're playing Orlando. A scenario where they're playing Miami and Indiana. They can literally play anybody. And here's my opinion to the Knicks fans out there, and you tell me if I'm wrong. There are certain teams I just said where if you play them, I think you're going to lose. I think if you play the Miami Heat, you're going to lose to them again. I think if you somehow fall down to that play-in tournament and you got to be matched up with the Boston Celtics, they're going to smoke your ass.
Mm-hmm.
But if you play Cleveland, you can print those tickets to the conference semifinals if you play Cleveland. If you play Philly, I think a lot of it has to do with the health of Joel Embiid. So, yes, you have to be healthy. We all know that. You got to sit there, you got to light your candles, and you got to pray to whatever basketball gods you pray to that somehow, some way, this team is healthy at the right time of year. No question. But the other major, major factor that's going to dictate where this season goes is who do you play? And the lesson from last night is if you play the Cleveland Cavaliers, you can go on a run. If you fall down a 6 and they're the 3 seed and that's how this regular season ends,
yeah,
I celebrate you.
Oh, I mean, of course.
That puts you in the best position
of
to succeed.
The only challenge of falling down to the 6 seed is that it's tight. It's tight all the way down to the 8 seed.
I agree. You can't pick where you're
right
at and who
and
you're
so,
playing. You're
so,
right.
So flirting with losses and being okay with losses because it puts you in position to take on the Cleveland Cavaliers in the first round, which feels like a guaranteed win. Not that I'm pushing it, but it feels like they have the Cavaliers number. It puts you dangerously close to being in the play-in tournament. And we don't want to be there.
No, I agree with you. There's not a way where you can control your future. Because Cleveland could be a 3, they could be a 2. Maybe they dropped a 4 or 5. Like, it's all on the table. All I know is that the view that Knicks fans have right now is going to be altered based on who you play. That's going to determine everything. This is a matchups league. And I've argued with Knicks fans about this a lot. Calm down about the regular season, good and bad, by the way. Mm-hmm. Good and bad. Like, for example, losing to the Orlando Magic doesn't mean you can't beat them in the postseason. Just like success, if you had any against the Boston Celtics, doesn't mean you're going to beat them.
Right.
My opinion on Cleveland is not simply about last night. It's who they are. It's look into the mirror at who they are. They are soft. They're not any different than they were a year ago. And here's what the Knicks have over Cleveland that's unique and special. And I'm not sure you guys ever had this in the NFL. Tell me if you did.
The mental beat.
Oh, you got them beat mentally. Yeah. They are done. They look into your eyes, even when it's Deuce McBride, even when it's Dante DiVincenzo, even when it's I Heart. When they look into your eyes, they know they're going to come up small. They did it in the playoffs last year. They did it last night. That is a brutal loss if you're Cleveland.
Of course it is.
I don't care that Spider wasn't playing.
Yeah, right, but there's nobody for the Knicks either, especially after a minute into the game. And I wonder, like, how that happens in basketball. There's so much ego in the NBA. I can see why it happens in football, even baseball, because you just, like, you play a team that just smashes 5 home runs a game. Like, you can be mentally beat, especially if you have an inferior pitcher on the hill. Football, physical, mean, like, just dirty team. Like, you can get mentally beat. In basketball, where there's so many egos and everybody thinks they're the greatest, even if they're not, how you get beat so consistently in your mind before it ever gets on the court is surprising to me.
I think I have an answer to that. I think that one team is very, very soft and one team will fight you. The Knicks' identity is that they're tough.
Mm-hmm.
Even without their best players, they are a tough-minded basketball team. I think that's why a lot of Knicks fans love them. It's why Josh Hart, to me, really exemplifies who they are.
Of course.
And Cleveland is not. There are certain teams, you watch them, and they're just frauds. Like, you can feel the fraudness coming out of them. The Cleveland Cavaliers are that. And so if you match up with them in the opening round of the postseason, you have a chance to go on that run. And here's the beauty of the NBA playoffs, and this would be my strategy if I'm a Knicks fan. Get me that easiest opponent early, because as the tournament goes on, you never know what's going to happen. Maybe a really good team gets picked off, like we saw last year by Milwaukee getting knocked off by Miami.
Right.
Maybe there's a catastrophic injury that happens at the absolute worst time. Not late January, but the middle of April or middle of May. So you want to put yourself in that spot where you're playing the teams you can beat early. Delay that Boston series as long as you can, because as much as I don't think they're beatable, as much as I think they're going to smoke the Eastern Conference, let time continue to tick, because maybe they face a big injury.
Yeah.
Maybe something happens that none of us see coming.
I think the hard part for the Knicks right now, and also the Knicks fan, but mostly the players, is that it feels like you're biding time. You're biding time. Let's beat Atlanta. Let's beat the Magic. We got the 76ers still compromised. Let's win a couple in a row just so we stabilize.
Yes.
As opposed to, let's charge towards the postseason. Let's start getting better towards the postseason. Let's play, get streaky and hot right when we get close to the postseason. So it's a weird mindset that the Knicks is in right now, because you're winning what you can. You almost can't look forward. Like, we're looking forward.
Mm.
We're talking as fans. We're saying, Cavaliers are frauds. Like, we can beat a lot of these teams that are in the Eastern Conference. But the Knicks himself is, all right, we live to breathe another day. Right, we have another day, so let's just go get the next one. Let's just go get the next one, because the uncertainty of the injury situation is just—it's real. Like, you feel it, and it's like you're walking on eggshells almost every single game.
No
doubt,
you don't
know what's going to happen next.
And
negative.
And last night was one of those nights. It's one of those nights I've experienced many, many times as a sports fan. A night in which all you could think about is another human being's health, and it's not your son or daughter or wife or husband. All you can think about is, was it non-contact? Is Jalen okay?
Yeah.
Is Jalen okay? Knicks fans couldn't sleep last night worried about if Jalen's okay. More on that coming up next at 877-337-6666. And what team do you want in the first round? To me, if you play Cleveland, you have a ticket to the second round of the playoffs. But if you play Boston, if you play Milwaukee, you're done. And all of a sudden, we're talking about this Knicks season very differently if it ends after one round. We'll get to your calls coming up. I had a wonderful conversation with my kids last night. We were stuck at an airport because there were hideous, hideous delays coming back from Florida. And we all watched the Knicks game together. which is kind of gutsy of me.
Right.
Because they could easily just become Knick fans. They did not.
But they know you're a Nets fan. It's not going to shift that quickly.
That's right. So we're watching the game, and we see Jaylen go down. And I think, like everybody else, you tell me as an athlete, my brain went to, this is really, really bad.
Right. Non-contact injury. I mean, there was contact, obviously, but we didn't see it really. And so it felt like non-contact injury, this is something serious, especially when you grab your knee. And it didn't look like it was hyperextended or anything else. No contact.
Right.
It looked like that's ACL.
That's what I thought.
Right. That's the first thing you think when someone goes down with a non-contact.
I also think the Knick fan in their blood, much like the Jet fan in their blood and the Met fan in their blood, always assumes that everything will turn out to be horribly bad.
Yeah.
Like, that is the natural reaction we have. Right. You had that feeling, right?
Especially when they're benign with the initial diagnosis.
Right.
Because it's kind of like, it's just he's got some soreness in his knee. He'll be fine. And then the next day, which is today, he's got a torn ACL.
Right.
Like, you always expect that because that's what always happens.
Of course.
Oh, dude, I went through it last night. I went through all six stages of grief within about a half hour to the point where I was texting my other Knick fan buddies and we were discussing when Jaylen would get back next season. We're like, I was worried about long-term health because when it's non-contact, when the guy can't get up, when he's being helped off the floor, and then the Knicks put out that report of the sore knee, I was like, come on, dude. Basically, his arm fell off. Well, he's questionable. Merely a flesh wound.
They put out on social media, sore knee questionable. Oh. And immediately, and I think Sean sent it in our text chat, that's what the Jets put out when Aaron Rodgers got hurt on Monday night against Buffalo.
Yeah. And listed the wrong injury. They listed ankle, the Jets did. Right. So it was very reminiscent.
By the way, I don't know if Tiki or Sean thought the same thing, but I'm glad you were writing back all your Knick fan friends. How come you never wrote out our text?
Oh, I'll tell you why. Because you're an ass. That's why.
What did I do?
You once again showed you have zero class. You're a total ass. You're a schmuck, and you root for injuries.
What did I say?
Because the second Brunson went down, Evan texts our little group chain, guess we have our open tomorrow. My season's over! My season's over. I just spilled something. My season's over. I'm worried Jaylen's not going to come back for 2 years, and you're worried about your dopey open? Who cares? Show a little sympathy and a little empathy for your fellow brethren, New York brethren.
I had sympathy. I'm not rooting for him to get hurt.
No, but you celebrated.
No, I did. How did I open. Celebrate?
So I was going to text you something really mean, and I didn't.
Oh, thank you for doing that.
No, wait. Did you get a delay in your flight?
Yes.
Good. You should have walked home after that text. I'm glad.
Well, my oldest son, Jet, was analyzing the injury with me. And remember,
you're sitting there analyzing injuries at the airport.
Yeah. Well, what else are we going to do?
Oh, I don't know, but like,
we're stuck.
You're going back frame by frame.
Oh, yeah.
We can totally see you doing this.
We did. We went frame by frame. My youngest was like, what happened, Dad? What happened? Is that Penn Stinwiddie? I said, no, that's not. Different player.
Yeah, he's gone.
But we went over the injury a lot, and then Jet asked a great question to me. He said, what are the worst injuries you've seen, Dad? And I'm like, oh, my God, he's got me down the memory hole of pain. So I started thinking. Now, luckily, here's the great thing about this conversation. Huh. Jaylen's okay. At least that's the feeling I get out of this.
Yeah.
Because it does look like it was knee-to-knee contact. They're calling it a contusion. If somehow this is as bad as we feared, then the New York Knicks are, just liars.
And by the way, x-rays, I know that. Tibbs said x-rays are negative, but that doesn't tell you anything.
But he called it a contusion.
I understand that, but an x-ray doesn't show you a tear.
Wait, so are you still on high alert that this could be really bad?
I'm on high alert that it could be more than just a contusion. That's all I'm saying. X-rays don't tell you anything unless a bone is broken.
Aren't we all on high alert?
I think he's fine because here's why I think he's fine. And stop with this. I'm rooting for injuries. I would never root for injuries. I think he's fine because we all saw that there was a knee-to-knee bang with a coro.
Yes.
And they're calling it a contusion.
Agreed.
And Thibodeau's like, he may play tomorrow.
I'm not even contesting that. But I'm just saying the reasoning being an x-ray doesn't tell you anything unless you have a broken bone.
No, they said the same thing about Rodgers. I agree.
Right. So you still need to see the further evaluation. The only thing that made me feel like it was okay was Josh Hart, like what he said after the game.
Yeah.
Where he basically said, yeah, Jaylen decided not to play.
Well, there are two things.
It's like, okay, so he could have played?
Josh was being comical, which I agree is a good sign. Right. And then B, Thibodeau saying it's a contusion, he may play Tuesday.
Yes.
So unless you think the Knicks are just bald-faced liars, I'm just telling you my opinion. I take it as, hey, you guys survived this.
And the fact that Josh is joking about this makes me feel better about it.
I agree.
Because if it was more serious and they did the Lachman test, they did all these other things, and they test, you know, the stability of your knee, check to make sure ligament's not torn, then and he's joking about it after the game, he's probably okay.
No, I agree with you. So
they need to change the way they do injury designations for us, the fans, because they basically said he got a scraped knee. They need to have a designation, could be effed, because that's a possibility here. It's not off the table, because like you said, if this is a bad knee injury, they're going to look like they lied to us, which is the worst thing you could do.
I'm giving them...
think it is a bad an injury, only because, like, they seem more... They'd be despondent.
Yes!
They would be beside themselves.
Well, think about the Jets, because I know that's the big one. So on Monday night when Aaron Rodgers got hurt, yes, the Jets put out that BS, he's questionable to return.
Yeah.
And then eventually they changed it to out. But after the game, Robert Saleh was talking as if there was a death in the family.
Right. Sound like a funeral.
So we knew right after that game, okay, to your point, we're effed. Tom Thibodeau after the game's like, he's all right.
So did Brunson have a dead leg or whatever I don't know the medical term. Why couldn't he walk after this? He scraped his knee. That's what I think contusion. I think he just got a bruise.
It depends on where what happened. Like if there's a nerve, there's nerves all up and down your body. You hit the wrong nerve you've seen this.
Charlie horse or whatever.
Thing, right? It deadens your nerves.
If you and I in the newsroom run into each other's knees right now, you're going to fall on the ground, cry, and you won't be able to get up.
I am not a professional athlete.
But I'm just saying, banging of knees is painful.
No, I know. My point is the visual is scary. That's all.
Oh, yeah. The visual is scary. The reality is not that bad.
Yeah, I think that we all got a scare last night, and I think that the Knicks are going to come out of this okay. Now, is he going to miss a couple of days? He may. But I think the fact that we're not talking about a torn ACL and he's out for the season, I think the crisis was averted. But when we saw it live, and I was having this conversation with my kids, and we were texting about it, we all thought there is a crisis. Like, we all thought he's going to miss an extended period of time. So Jet, my oldest, put me on the spot.
Yeah.
He's like, tell me about the other injuries that really made you upset. And I'm like, well, you were with me for one of them.
Right.
And that's obviously Aaron Rodgers, which I think goes down in history as one of the most shocking and catastrophic injuries in the history of New York sports.
Right. Is that yours? Is that the one that catches you?
So... recency bias, yes, and the impact it had. But I want to tell you in the moment, and this is going to surprise you, the injury that really, really affected me. Because I think there are others that you look back on and you know that they screwed you based on the results. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, Kyrie Irving turning his ankle with Giannis turned out to really screw the Nets out of winning an NBA title. But I'd lie to you if in the moment I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
I think in the moment I had the thought of we could find a way out of this.
Yeah.
But in the moment, the injury... as a sports fan, that I think screwed me up the most was Matt Harvey. Believe it or not, Matt Harvey in 2013 was having this insane season. It was incredible. Starts the All-Star game. He's dominating. He's having just this remarkable, remarkable run. And it was really the only thing worth watching because the Mets weren't any good. But you had Matt Harvey.
Yeah.
And when it came out that Matt Harvey needed Tommy John surgery, Tommy John surgery, which not only ends a season, but ends the next season.
Right.
Which I think is the extreme. Like, even with Rodgers' injury, as devastating as it was, we waited 2 days and heard, oh, he'll be back next year.
Or, no, he might be back this year.
Right, he might be back this year.
Right, it didn't feel like, that'd be 2 years, we're done.
Right.
That's funny.
Matt Harvey's injury in 2013 as a fan, I think effed me up the most.
Right.
Because I remember being angry, not at anybody in particular, just angry at the situation, and just knowing, wow, this is the one thing worth watching, and now it's gone for a year and a half. And I thought of others, like, okay, Vinny Testaverde going down, game one, 1998, that was bad. El Duque popping a hamstring, jogging in the outfield before game one of the NLDS. Like, that really screwed them up. Darrell Revis tearing his ACL. Week three against the Dolphins in 2012.
Dude, you had a lot.
You think?
You had a lot.
I'm a lot.
That delay you had on the flight must have been really filled.
I know.
We were talking about all of those, teaching my kids a lesson.
Right. The easiest one for me, it's two, but one was in college, and it's only meaningful because it was Rondé. He dislocated his elbow, like complex dislocated, so it like popped through the skin. He has a scar on his elbow still, and it happened right in front of me. And so I saw it. So that one was disturbing. But the Jason Sehorn ACL in 98 in the preseason, because he wanted to be Deion. He wanted to return kicks. Wanted to do everything.
Dude, that's as memorable as it gets. Like, we all remember it,
too. It was a preseason game.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, we're screwed. We, like, just won the division. I think we went undefeated in the division the year before. We lost the Vikings in the playoff game. But
right.
I think we had an undefeated division record that year. Maybe
you had
one
a tie.
Yeah,
with
we did have a tie.
Yeah.
We did have a tie. But we were like, oh, we're going to be great. And then preseason game. Like, dude, why do you want to return kickoffs? Return punts. Don't return kickoffs. Because that's the most, at that point, one of the most violent plays in the game. And you're one of our best players, and you want to return kickoffs. So that was the one that sticks out to me.
Dude, I think that's number one for Giant fans, right?
Oh, without a doubt.
I don't know. My number one for Giant fans is still Victor Cruz. When he went down with the patellar tendon in Philadelphia, prime time, writhing in pain.
Yeah.
And to me, that also signified whatever you thought of, like, the 2011 and 7 Giants, like, that run felt over that night.
Hmm.
Like, that was like, wow, you know he's not coming back this year, and you probably know he's never going to be the same again,
right.
And he wasn't.
Did he play again?
Yeah, he came back in 16, and him and Beckham, that was the boat tour year.
That's right.
But
that's
he scored,
right.
I think, one touchdown. It was on opening day versus Dallas, and he was there, and he was a good veteran.
Yeah,
but
of course.
That was the end of Victor Cruz
right.
as we knew him.
That we knew him as. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, when you know something as the injury happens, that's what hurts more. See, we were all here together when Aaron Rodgers got hurt. Because it was week one of a football season, and because they won a game against a division mm-hmm. rival the way they did, I remember that morning coming in thinking, I'm depressed in one end, but I'm also, like, ecstatic.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good... Now, that wouldn't have been the case. If it came out this morning, hey, this injury to Jalen is really, really serious, and it's bad. It's what everyone feared. I don't think many Knicks fans would have said, yeah, we own Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Screw them. Like, I think the injury would have way outweighed
right.
it. Mainly because the NBA is an 82-game marathon,
right.
and in the NFL, it's only 17 games.
Yeah, so if you lose a guy, same injury. It can be the exact same injury. In the NFL, it feels like it's the season.
Yes.
Whereas in basketball, the season's so long, you feel like, oh, eventually he'll be back, and he'll be a health time. But it's different. It's different in football, to me, these injuries, because they seem to last and linger. Because it's such a violent sport, and you can't be compromised.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a quarterback or skill position player, because you're not going to be the same player.
No, I get you, man. That Harvey one really screwed with me. I remember being on the air that day, and I was just like screaming at the universe, because it just
what
it felt 2013. It felt unfair. It felt like this team stinks. There's nothing worth watching. Here's this one guy who's dominating, and now he needs Tommy John, and Tommy John is the extreme, because it's like, hey, you're not just gone for the rest of this year, you're gone for next year, which is the absolute worst. Like, you're losing a guy essentially for two seasons.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, as I was going through this list with my kids and I was explaining each one and how it affected me and what happened to the team, the Harvey one really didn't screw with the team, because the team wasn't any good.
Yeah.
And even the following year, the team wasn't any good. It was more screwing with the fan who is excited about something, and now it was completely taken away from you. That's where it really kind of stinks.
Yeah, there's not a lot of other ones that jump to mind. Major injuries from football, from the Giants.
Oh,
I guess
me.
The Jets standpoint.
There trust
was, there
me,
was
there's plenty. I just
Jets.
Gave
yeah, I mean, Derek Jeter crawling about, off the field.
I mean, from the Giants, from a football standpoint, there hasn't been a ton of them.
How about Odell when he got hurt?
Yeah.
Which time?
Yeah.
Daniel
that's
Jones.
The problem. He was like always banged up. I guess Daniel Jones this year, but... I think because it's so recent and we kind of feel bad. It didn't feel sudden. I think because he got hit and beat up so often. It's like, this is a matter of time. I remember thinking this. It's just a matter of time before he's not getting up.
Yeah.
And it happened.
It wasn't on the field when Plaxus Burner went off and he, you know,
yeah.
the season got derailed.
Well, that's one. Yeah. That's definitely one, but it wasn't an on the field.
Yeah.
We didn't see it.
That was a little different.
Right.
But what you guys missed behind the scenes is when Tommy turned to me, he goes, when Plax shot himself, did he get hurt?
I always forgot if he hit himself or if it just went off. I forgot the story, like, totally. I tried to, like, block it
Wait,
out of my brain.
Wait, did he get hurt?
Yes!
Yeah.
Right!
Shot himself in the thigh!
But you forget. You just know that, like I said, the heater went off. But.
Yeah. But you know what the other one was then off the field? I don't know if you guys remember this one. Duaner Sanchez was a reliever for the New York Mets, and he was having a really good year in 2006. He was like their main eighth inning guy.
I don't remember this.
And he got into a taxi cab accident.
What?
And he got hurt.
He was in the cab.
He was in the cab. The taxi got into an accident. He got injured from the accident, luckily not life-threatening.
Right.
It caused the ripple effect where the Mets made trades now because they needed to replace Duaner Sanchez, and that's what brought Oliver Perez into our world. So... That was one that we didn't see, but it certainly happened. Now, let's get to some of your calls. First, let's go to Chris in Seacliff, New York. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, afternoon, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
Good, man. What's up?
Yeah, you know, I was going to talk about the mental stuff on the field, but you talk about the injuries. I mean, Joe Theismann, it doesn't matter if you're a fan or not.
Oh,
that was the most brutal I've ever witnessed in my life.
That's a great one.
Tiki, you were with the team at that point?
No, I wasn't. I remember I was a kid. I mean, I was a
nah,
kid.
That's
was,
well before his right. time.
That was okay. Sorry, my bad.
I think it was like it was not that far though removed from me being there. I think it was like 5 or 6 years before I got to high school or got to college. So, but I remember right. it. Yep. It affected you because you were like, dude, you can like really hurt yourself.
That was a grotesque injury. Yeah, right. That's the leader
brutal.
Of grotesque injuries.
I think it was the first time I ever thought that as a football player you could really get hurt. I mean, I'm serious because yeah. I was at that age yeah. where you're like. Dude, this dude cracked his leg in half. Like, the whole thing just Jeez. Broke.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Compound fractures were probably the worst thing. Going back to the mental aspect on the field, you know, there's a lot of teams that own each other. Like, the Yankees own the Twins.
Yep.
Obviously, the Patriots. Sorry, Jet, Evan, but the Patriots own the Jets.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's an old adage, traffic has a memory, right? So you're telling me, you know, the Patriots have owned the Jets for, whatever, 15, 20 years, that – even though the teams have changed over the course, it's just inbred in them that they're going to lose to this team. I mean, that always, I don't understand that, you know, because it's a different team. And they say, well, you know, 5 years ago we owned them, but it's a completely different team. I mean, how's that, you know, is that just, that's the locker room? They're like, oh, we always lose to these guys?
That's a good question. That's a great question, Chris. I don't know why that memory persists. And I think... part of it is media, to be honest with you.
Oh, blame the media.
I'm not blaming the media.
Typical
at all,
athlete.
But the media highlights it. Right. Like, I don't know if most players would think about it until it's presented to them. And then once it's presented to them, they have to like respond to it. And they have to either come up with an excuse why it's happened or be defiant why it's not going to happen.
Yeah,
and so all of a sudden it's front and center in your head when in reality you probably weren't even thinking about it.
I can see that being the case in some areas, but sometimes, like in life, things are just very, very simple, and we try to overcomplicate it. So let's start with the Atlanta Braves owning the New York Mets in the late 90s. I'll start with that. You want to know why the Atlanta Braves owned the New York Mets in the late 90s? Because they were better. Like, simply put, they were better. And I'll one-up this. And tell me if you guys disagree, specifically Sean as a Yankee fan. Why have the Astros owned the New York Yankees in the postseason, even though their rosters have been different and their managers have been different? My answer is they're better than you.
I was going to go timely hitting, but if that means better, sure.
Yeah, well, they're better. They're better.
The cheating in there, too.
Jose Altuve.
That's one of those weird arguments because, yes, what they display on the field is better, but on paper, I've still never felt the Astros were better than the Yankees.
But here's my proof of this, and I'll use the Mets and the Braves and the Astros and the Yankees as the exact same example. Mm. In those years where the Braves would own the Mets, and I'm not even talking about recent time. I'm talking about in the late 90s and early 2000s.
Where the Yankees would clean up the mess?
Yeah, where the Yankees owned everybody. Right. Braves owned the Mets. Yankees owned everybody. The Mets never finished with a better record than the Atlanta Braves. So it's not like, hey, the Mets would prove it over 162 and then lose to them. Yankees, Astros, to this day, whenever they play in the playoffs, for the most part, the Astros had a better team overall.
Yeah, well, you never saw those Game 7s at Yankee Stadium.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, do you think that's a coincidence?
Great point.
In 2017, the Astros had a better record, Game 6 and 7 in Houston. In 2019, the Astros had a better record, Game 6 and 7 in Houston.
So it's really just a home team bias.
Well, I think it's the better team bias.
Well,
a home team bias. In your mind, you're saying we're better than the Astros, but in actuality, you're not. You're not record better than them.
Yes.
They've had better, more success than you. You're not better than them.
You're not better.
But in your mind, you think you are. And so you get pissed off when you continually lose to them.
Yes.
Even though that's the natural course of right?
Those years, though, were part of still the unbalanced schedule. And I think a lot of us thought,
I see.
We're losing games to the Rays, right. The Red Sox.
You're creating a narrative that makes it you're better than the team that you're consistently losing.
Now, the Jets-Patriots one, let me answer that. Up until really last year when the Patriots started to sink and the Jets at least had this competent team we thought, the Patriots were better.
Yeah.
Yeah, the winning streak continued because the Jets sucked. It only became like, dude, what's going on over the last year and a half because the Jets seemed competent, at least we thought, and the Patriots seemed to be a complete mess. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, when one team owns another team, there's a simple reason. Now, to the Knicks and the Cleveland Cavaliers, all right, this one's a little bit different because this is what we started with. Are the Cavaliers better than the Knicks, like big picture? Maybe. Maybe they are. Maybe they are record-wise, talent-wise. Like, okay, sure.
Record-wise, sure. But that's because the Knicks have lost 8 of their last 11. But talent-wise, I'm not so sure. If health is equal, I don't think that the Cavaliers are better. I think they're more interesting because they're younger, mm-hmm. and it feels like they have this runway that's still ramping up, assuming they hang on to Donovan Mitchell and everybody stays healthy because they had a bunch of injuries earlier in the year. But I think, like, on par, every team...
They're close.
I think they're close the Knicks aren't a little bit better.
I'll give you that, but the reason why the Knicks own them is not because they're better. No. It's because they're tougher. Like, to me, the Nick Cavalier ownage thing is very, very simple. They're a soft finesse team, mm-hmm. and the Knicks are tough. Like, I know Loogie gets crap sometimes for tweeting over and over again, they're dogs, they're this, they're that. But in a weird way, like, he's kind of right. That's who they are. That's their identity. They're a tough-nosed, doggish basketball team. Now, does that mean they're going to win an NBA title? I'm not saying that. But against a team that is as soft as Cleveland, that's your perfect matchup.
What are you going to do about it?
Nothing is the answer because the Cavs get punched in the face and they go home and they cry. And I love Donovan Mitchell, too. We need more Met fans in this world, but he's right at the top of the list. He's the leader. He's the star, and he represents that team. So if he can, you know, carry it, then that's on him.
And not only that, when you get pushed the way he got pushed last night by Josh Hart, when you're standing there, dude, you got... Obviously, I went overboard saying he would punch him in the face, but you got to react.
Yeah.
Like, he stood there, and I like Donovan Mitchell. This pains me to say, but he stood there like, oh, okay, I guess I'll take it.
What are you going to do about it?
Well, nothing.
He's not playing.
Well, he just stood there.
I understand
Josh Hart openly taunted him on national TV.
Yeah, he punked him out.
Maybe it was a friendly punk him out. Maybe they're boys. I don't know. I don't know the dynamic.
I mean, the Knicks knocked them out in the playoffs. Like, you can't allow that on your court while you're sitting out. Dude, that's bad.
I am not telling you what should happen on Cleveland Sports Talk Radio, but I'll tell you right now. if I was hosting a show down there, up there, over there, I'd be crushing him.
They probably just ignored it.
Yeah, they're talking about the Browns.
Is this the day to be taking a shot at other team stars' toughness here?
Who's not tough?
I mean, we're all happy about Jalen Brunson. That's Paul Pierce wheelchair stuff if it's just a knee contusion.
Oh, come on.
That reaction was a bit much. I am serious.
He was in pain, dude.
Look, and by the way, I want to make it clear. I wouldn't be at work today if I had that knee contusion. But as a tough-as-nails NBA player, we all feared the worst because of his reaction.
You wanted to come back? You wanted to, like,
walk back
on the court?
Not come back. But when you were grabbing your knee, thriving where everybody thinks it's an ACL.
Hold on.
That is Paul Pierce getting wheeled out in the wheelchair.
No, it wasn't Nancy Kerrigan. Relax.
You're way tougher, man. You're with the cast.
I don't think that ACL tears are painful. I think the nerve is done, and so it feels weird. I remember when I tore my PCL.
Interesting.
I didn't feel a thing. It just felt odd. I was like, that something's not right. Something doesn't feel connected any longer. But it wasn't painful. Pain means it's like.
That was a lot of theatrics.
This
of pain.
Is below you, Sean.
Right.
I know this is below you.
And by the way, think about getting a bruise or a nerve injury. That hurts, man.
No, listen, I am a wimp. Like, I get touched the wrong. So I want to make this very clear. But if we're going to be a dude and a dog and talk about other team stars' toughness, your star, if that's not some kind of seasoning and it's simply a knee contusion, you can't be grabbing it like you're looking for a lawsuit.
Just from listening to the what went on. And reading some of the details of this contusion / nerve issue, whatever the heck it is, he was probably confused on why he couldn't feel his leg. And so if you can't feel your leg and you're just like, dude, what's wrong? Like, I can't walk on it. Like, I get up on it, I have no strength because the nerves aren't firing and telling my muscles to activate. It's not registering in my brain, use your calf, use your quad. Like, you're scared, man.
I would make that clear.
Nerves do. So when you get a nerve contusion or bone, that's what happens. Like, your nerves don't tell your muscles to activate, and so you have no strength.
That's scary, bro.
Tiki, there's no doubt it's scary. I'm not denying that. What I am going to say is if that was Jason Tatum at a Knicks Celtic game and it was the same injury and went down the way, he'd be the first one. Lukey would be the first one going, that's not a dude. That's not a dog. Look at the way he acted after that.
They all flop around. They all do the same.
And he's out there with a trainer. Maybe the trainer said, yo, I'm going to help you out so you don't further. We don't know what the injury is. He felt something. Everybody watching thought it might have been his Achilles or his knee.
Understand. A call has already been made to the mayor's office to understand if the King of New York needs to be revoked if you can't be that tough.
I'll remember that when Aaron Judge's, you know, eyebrow hurts and he's out for half the season or his freckles are bothering him. Yeah, okay.
I mean, in fairness, Aaron Judge missed 2 months because his toe ran into a wall.
Exactly.
If we're going to play that game.
And you were quick to strip him of his kingship.
I had nothing to do with that. Let's go to Mark in Jersey City. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys, how are we doing? Just talking about the injuries that, like, deflated a team as a Giants fan. I know it's off the field, but we got to talk about Plaxico when he shot himself.
Yeah,
the Giants were a great team that season, and it kind of killed it.
No, it definitely did. I mean, they had a real chance to repeat.
Dude,
and all of a sudden, he wasn't available.
Look, things may have floated down the same way anyway. Sometimes something occurs that causes us to say, this is what made it happen. But all these years later, to me, it feels like that moment ended a season and changed the direction. But a lot of times with these injuries, you don't know what it's going to lead to. And I'm going to give you two examples with me as a fan where I just didn't get the gravity of an injury. Number one, Jacob DeGrom at the end of 2021. He missed a start going into the All-Star break and never made another start. And we didn't know for a while, hey, this is going to be it for him.
Yeah.
This is going to be the end of him. And then the other one was Kevin Durant getting hurt. Because who knew when Kevin Durant got hurt, that was going to lead to the end of his time.
Right.
Like, that was going to lead to everything falling apart. So I didn't think it at the time. I didn't think it in the moment. But then there were injuries where in the moment, you feel the gravity of what's about to happen. Brian is in Emerson, New Jersey. Good afternoon, Brian.
Hey, Tiki and Evan, you guys are amazing.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. I'm surprised there's two names that pop up, but I'm surprised, Evan, you didn't say one, and Tiki, one for you.
Go ahead.
One was Jason Sehorn.
Yep. No, we said that. Yep, I said that. We first started talking about it. You missed it, but that one was devastating.
That messed me up from watching anyone do a kickoff return. It was crazy.
I can understand.
And the other one was Dennis Byrd. I remember watching him take the hit.
Yeah.
And then everyone getting quiet in the room. But that actually leads to a question. What is your guys' best, like, return from injury impact? Like, I remember seeing Dennis Byrd doing the coin toss, and I'm like, wow, we can do anything. Like, a year later, he came back from being paralyzed. That's a great story.
Yeah.
What was your guys' favorite comeback?
Dude, that one. Because when Dennis Byrd went down in 1992, I am, like, learning football. I'm not a Jet fan the way I am today because I'm 8-9 years old, and I'm figuring it all out. But we all knew what happened with Dennis Byrd and how scary it was and how it was, forget about, you know, season altering. This is career altering. And bigger than that, it's life altering.
Right.
Here's a guy that may never be able to walk again. So any return to injury pales in a comparison to seeing Dennis Byrd be able to just simply walk.
Yeah. I mean, DeMar Hamlin is pretty impressive too because, I mean, his heart wasn't beating.
Right.
You think about that. He's basically dead on the field. And then he played this year. I mean, that one's a big deal, too.
I think the other stuff is more candy store stuff.
Right.
Like, when we talk about guy coming back from a leg injury or an arm injury, it's nothing compared to the two examples of DeMar Hamlin and Dennis Byrd.
I had such a good one, and you guys went so serious.
Well, I know. That's why I had to try to alter by saying, hey, that's the real one. Everything else is candy store stuff.
If we eliminated those, how about Aaron Rodgers getting a hole-in-one off the Achilles?
how about Evan Roberts doing a sports talk radio show after getting run over by a taxi cab?
Yeah.
Great comeback story.
Thank you, Woogie.
Near-death experience, here you are today.
I think I only missed one day when I got run over.
That's it?
Well, the story behind
why
that is...
Why didn't you come in?
What was that?
Why didn't you come in?
Because I... Okay, so here's the story behind it. It's weird. I was doing a show with Joe, and I lost my voice. I had laryngitis. Okay. Did not feel sick at all. Was not ill. Had no voice. Chernoff, Beningo, they're like, dude,
go home.
What are we doing here? Uh-huh. And Chernoff would never do that. But he's like, can you go home? You can't even speak. And I'm like, all right. So I went home. And I'm like, what the hell am I going to do with my time? I got nothing to do because I got sent home. I feel fine. I'm not sick. So back in the day as a season ticket holder, if you couldn't go to a game, they would allow you to return the unused tickets.
Okay.
But you'd have to take it to the box office, and then they would give you a future game. So my wife at the time, who is pregnant, I say to her, listen, I'm going to just bike over to Citi Field.
I'm a loser.
I'm going to return these tickets.
You didn't have a car?
I did, but I think biking was fun.
I'm a loser.
That was my attitude. So I start biking over to Citi Field, and I got run over by a taxi.
Look out.
Run over by a
Where
taxi.
Were you living at this point?
I was living in Long Island City, Queens.
Problem.
What was that?
Why would you just not get in a car?
Because I like to bike. What do you mean, why?
That's a hike.
It's like 9 miles. It was fun. I had done it.
That's a hike.
No, it's not. You're a
It's
nuisance.
Not like there's like sidewalks the whole way.
I understand. There's bike lanes.
No, see, Evan, is everything that's wrong with New York City today. If you don't have to bike, don't bike.
Why?
You bikers think you own the freaking road. You look out, flashing your lights. I can't stand the bicyclists in New York, and you have no business. You could have gotten in a car and went.
So
the less bikes,
are you
the better.
Trying to say
it's
that
not like
you...
it's 2 miles or a
right,
mile.
Right, 9 miles. Get in the car,
miles.
Tough guy.
9 miles takes 20 minutes. Are you trying to say you support the taxi driver for almost killing me?
Are you alive?
Yes.
Go taxi.
Go taxi. But that day, I went to the hospital. I think I got checked out in the morning. I came to work.
Ah!
My voice was back. I limped on in. I said, let's go.
Ah!
Oh, wait, so you missed the day because of your voice, not because of the...
I think I may have missed the second day because of the voice. I think I eventually came. The back right. was never the problem.
I mean, this is ridiculous. How can any of us... I used two last week. How can any of us use a sick day again? Tough guy. You can't even have to get hit by a cab.
That's right. Once my voice was fine, I came right in. I had to come to work, man. I couldn't wait to talk about it. Especially because Al Dukes, trying to be the producer that he was, called me from the hospital bed to get an exclusive update for, at the time, Boomer and Carton.
Well, obviously.
And I was like, dude.
I can't talk.
I was like, first of all, my voice is dead. And second of all, I'm going to give an update when I'm on the radio. I ain't giving it to you.
Yeah, they like doing that, by the way.
Yeah, they wanted to break their news.
They like trying to break news on their show.
The news of what? Me being dead by a taxi driver?
I remember when they tried to crush me. They actually did, not tried to. They crushed me over the Steve Cohen.
Well, that was Boomer and Geo.
I know, but
okay.
Still.
So it was the, right, I get you, right. The second edition of the morning show.
Same iteration, different iteration of the morning show.
That's right.
And I'm like, dude, I have my own show.
you wanted to break it there.
No, I'd already done it.
Oh, I got you.
And they were killing me. Like, oh, he's got to come on and corroborate this. Like, dude, if I'm going to talk about it again, I'm going to talk about it on my own show.
That's right. We'll come right back. We'll get back to your calls, 877-337-6666. Luckily, this Jalen Brunson injury does not fit with these other horrific New York sports injuries that changed our life. We'll get to that coming up. Plus, why were the Jets not interested in Mike Evans before he re-signed with Tampa? Evan and Tiki here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.